Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a very special On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd for show 52, which means what, Mr. Boyd?
Man, this is a show that we've been looking forward to for quite some time, actually, since we started. Show number one, Mr. Wally, and the day is upon us. 1 year. 1 year of shows for On the Double with the Double S Express. Congratulations, Mr. Wally, on such an excellent, excellent feat.
Who'd have thunk that we'd still be rolling strong and bringing big-time guests this entire year, and every week we try to get better and bring you more insight and have good guests on, and, you know, here we are 1 year from the beginning, and it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who'd have thunk not? I mean, man, this was one of the hurdles that we knew going into having our own show, that at some point we would come to this 1 year. And this is just, you know, one of the steps of many that we'll have moving forward. And I'm excited, man. I mean, you know, you take a deep breath, you take a look back and some of the, you know, the great guests that we have had. And here we are 1 year. And today's guest, we pack a wallop going into year number two, man. I am excited about today's guest.
Yeah, and you're going to want to definitely stay tuned this hour as we bring you two big-time guests, as always, here on The Double. The first guest will be us venturing into sports entertainment and bringing on Brian Kendrick, originally of Olympia, Washington, now residing in Venice, California. It must be a rough life for pro wrestler Brian down in Venice.
Yeah, man, I'm excited just to talk with Brian. You know, with his upbringings, of course, there is a special link to our guest, Brian Hendricks, to you, Mr. Wally. And, of course, you guys have grown up since childhood. And so that must be awesome to actually get a chance to have celebrity, of course, coming from Olympia, Washington, moving on and doing some great things with the WWE. And so I'm excited.
Yeah, he's definitely taken a dream and made it a reality. So it's going to be great to talk to Brian. And then big-time guest number two tonight, a guy that you know well, we both know from the Pacific Northwest, a sports writer for the Tacoma News Tribune, one Todd Millis.
Yeah, it's always good to talk with Todd. And, you know, of course, we go way back with Todd as well. All the way back to high school for myself with Todd Millis, man. I mean, that is just something to even think about. But my goodness, man, I'm looking forward to getting a chance to talk. Of course, we talked with Todd back at the NFC Championship game this past year with between the Hawks and the 49ers. It's always good to talk with old friends.
Well, speaking of football, they had a big weekend to the NFL and all of its teams. The NFL draft held for the first time in May.
Man, wasn't there, oh yeah, there was a draft this past weekend. You know, I didn't know, Sean.
Well, you would be few and far between if you did not know. You might have been under a rock, because what's amazing is the power and the prowess of the NFL, the strength hold that it has on our American sports society. More viewers watch the NFL draft. That means nothing in the standings. There's no championship that comes with it. More people watch the draft than the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs this weekend combined.
Yeah, so that first round, the first round of the draft, man, I believe the rating, I guess the, you know, the television rankings was like 8.5. That was the rating that they had, the NFL had, in contrast to watching LeBron James is a meager 2.1 or something like that, I believe it was. I mean, wow, four times as many viewers or the power ranking in that. And I mean, man, that's just incredible, the amount of people that focused on NFL football.
Yeah, it's just amazing how many people will sit through anything NFL. I mean, the NFL Network is 24/7, and now you've got the draft even being pushed back to May was the stronghold winner for TV ratings. And you would think the playoffs, hockey, basketball, they would take precedence because they mean something. But I think here's the difference. If you're a fan of the Miami Heat, of course, you're in Florida, and yeah, you like LeBron, so maybe you're scattered around the country.
Right.
But the entire league of the NFL had a spectacle and a showcase this weekend.
You know what I found even more intriguing was how big of a difference or a big of a lead as that ESPN had over the NFL Network. That was even more impressive. I believe the viewers watching ESPN was something like 65% over what the NFL Network had, you know, as far as watching the draft. And so, I mean, if you had a preference, it's hands down, the fans love to watch ESPN.
Well, let's talk about that NFL draft. And what were your thoughts and what'd you take away from it, especially round one?
You know, I for the longest, we heard talks of, you know, many people, you know, taking on that first pick from the Houston Texans. And we had talked about this for weeks as far as who that might be. But the consensus was, is, you know, the Houston Texans would take the best player. And they did just that. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, I think that was the best pick for the Houston Texans. I mean, you're looking at a team that, you know, has to go up against the likes of Andrew Luck. And, you know, they have to have a sharp defense put together. And when you put Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt on the other side, I mean, that makes for a superb pass rush. And so, you know, very exciting for the Houston Texans. Of course, for me personally and my beloved Raiders, man, what can I say, Sean Wally? Man, if there was a Super Bowl and draft picks, this would probably be one of them for the Oakland Raiders, standing pat and making, it seems like they made all the right moves, Sean. All the right moves from the beginning, going and beefing up their defense with Khalil Mack, then coming back and getting who they wanted all along as far as the quarterback is concerned in Derek Carr, and then it just kept going as far as their picks were concerned, beefing up the defense and making the Raider Nation proud.
Yeah, they definitely did some good things, and hopefully for Raider Nation and fans, they're in the black hole, that those picks will pan out. And that's really how any GM, their pedigree is determined by whether or not those draft picks did what they were supposed to do, whether or not they were great players, turned into great pros. And it's time for these draft picks that Reggie McKenzie just had over the weekend to take their moment, take that shining star and run with it, because not only do they want to prove themselves, but it's time for the silver and black to return.
Yeah, you know, and we've always talked about the NFL being a copycat league, and that's all that Reggie McKenzie did. He took pages, especially from the Seattle Seahawks and the great job that they do in drafting. And he goes out and he picks in the fourth round Keith McGill. This is a defensive back out of Utah. Kid's 6'3". You know, I think about 215, 220 pounds. If that rings a bell in Seattle, well, you know, there's a young man that just signed a four-year contract for $57 million. And, you know, I mean, you know, he could be one of those sleepers, you know, for the Oakland Raiders to actually come in there and take care of business. And so I'm excited to see what that young man does. But, yeah, you know, now is the time, you know, in Oakland for things to turn around. And I think that Reggie McKenzie did an awesome job in those draft picks.
We'll shelve the NFL talk for now and get back to it later in the hour. And let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number one tonight, pro wrestling's Brian Kendrick. Brian, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, Sean, thanks for having me, buddy.
Hey, Brian, thanks for being on the show, man. This is an exciting time for the Double S Express. This is our 1 year show, man. And so, you know, this is a, you know, how, no better way to bring it in than with Brian Kendrick, WWE extraordinaire, man. You know, I've got one question. I mean, you have to have a certain temperament to go into wrestling. When did you know that professional wrestling was for you?
Well, I knew I wanted to do it when I first saw The Ultimate Warrior on VHS. But the truth is when I really knew I could do it is when my friend Sean there had a coworker from a gas station. I don't know if Sean even remembers this, but he applied for a wrestling school. And that was the first time it even dawned on me that there was such a thing as wrestling schools. I don't think his friend and coworker wound up really fully pursuing it, but because he attempted and because I was friends with Sean and because Sean worked with him, I became a pro wrestler. That was when I knew my dream could become a reality.
Well, man, you definitely came in on the scene, you know, as, you know, making a spark. Of course, you wore a mask in the beginning and, you know, just kind of getting your feet wet. But then there was that big breakthrough, and I believe that was sometime in 2002 when you signed that contract with the WWE, of course, doing your wrestling stint with TNA as well. But making that breakthrough in the WWE, in 2003, the addition of Velocity, man, you and John Cena, I believe, had a little bout going in.
Yeah, early on, when John Cena was just Johnny Blue Shorts wearing the jersey of the local rival, so of course if he was in Boston, he'd be wearing a Lakers jersey and trying to get under the fan skin. I was the young, spunky little kid that, obviously could get beat up by the much larger brute. And so, before John was... the big John Cena that he is now, him and I were doing rap battles and farting around.
Man, Brian, you're taking me way back. That was, if I'm not mistaken, Carlos in Hawks Prairie that you're referring to, the fellow wrestling aficionado that was trying to go where you've gone. And
that's right.
And your story is amazing. I mean, here we graduated from high school and we're – you know, trying to thumb through and survive community college. And all of a sudden you pack up your two-seater Honda Del Sol to the limit. Probably we're trying not to pop tires and hope you can get down to Texas, and drove all the way to Austin. And you went to the Shawn Michaels Wrestling Academy, and the rest is history.
Yes, sir. And the universe is good, and we were friends for a reason. And if Carlos didn't happen to be working at that gas station with you at the time, there's a chance that this wouldn't have happened. I might have gone in too deep into something else and not have had the guts and the, that stupid youth spunk that I had to fully pursue it.
So what do you recall about first meeting Shawn Michaels, a guy that, you know, growing up in our teen years was an idol for you and somebody you wanted to aspire to be?
Oh, buddy, it was nerve-wracking because, well, heck, it was in San Antonio, Texas, but on Zarzamora Street. Really, the only English speakers in the neighborhood were the ones in that wrestling school, which was in the attic of a Mexican restaurant. And here's Shawn Michaels informing us that, if you expected this to be a nicer school, this ain't no day spawn! Just started yelling and screaming at us for no reason. And holy geez, this is serious business. and boy, was I puking the first few days, but I would just wipe my face and get right back in there.
Wow, Brian, so, man, that sounds like, you know, some grueling, tough times there. When you're dealing with wrestling, and especially getting your start, and you're mentioning driving down to Texas, you know, was there a point to where you felt like, man, maybe this wouldn't materialize? You know, maybe I should, you know, think about, you know, packing it up and doing something else. You know, when was it that you just felt, man, at any cost, I'm going to fight through this and continue through this to get my big break?
Truth is, as soon as I got in there, I was determined to do this. I realized that the only thing that could stop me is me. And if I just work as hard as I possibly can, don't don't try to trick myself or cheat myself or give any excuses about being tired or hurt or you know, sore or sick. But if I just fully did the best I could with what I had at that any given time, that the universe is good. And I had faith in it. So I just knew I'd have to push myself, and I did.
Well, yeah, you definitely took advantage of your opportunities. There were a couple of matches. One that I, of course, I'd mentioned with John Cena earlier. It seems like you're always oversized. Cena stands at probably about 6'2". Maybe you're probably at about 5'11". Am I correct?
Oh boy, in high heels, I might be 5'11". I'll give myself credit for 5'9". But there might be some people that call bullcrap on that too.
Man, well, the most entertaining, well, I won't call it a match, but confrontation that I saw was, of course, you were the messenger doing a singing telegram for the Big Show. And I believe this was in, I correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking it's about 2006. And here you come, and there is the Undertaker sitting there. And, you know, he's going through his little soliloquy and, you know, he's trying to coax the Big Show to come out. And then all of a sudden, the Big Show song starts to play. Here you come down, and you've got this cool little singing telegram outfit on, and you step into the ring. Man, I can only imagine, you know, because the Undertaker's he's got to be about 7 feet tall, pretty close to.
Yeah, he's like honest to goodness, and I mean, no shorter than 6'9", you know, but yeah, maybe 6'10", 6'11". He's a big fella. And not only that, he's the godfather of wrestling in the fact that absolutely everybody respects him. Even the boss, respects him. So, more intimidating than his size was his status in wrestling. And, he's a legend, and here I am, my first time doing anything there, and it's doing stuff with him.
Well, man, you know, I'm thinking that you had to see it coming. He's offering you $100, and he wants you to do the dance again. And the crowd is just kind of going on, and they're kind of anticipating it. And then all of a sudden, you know, there comes the knee, and then the Undertaker goes with the big slam. Man, I, my God, man! I mean, how much punishment can go on in these wrestling matches for you?
I mean, the truth is, it really hurts. those even bouncing off the ropes will leave you purple on the ribs. You hit that mat, and it hurts. It's foam, but that foam's on top of 2x10s, and those 2x10s are on top of steel beams. So it really hurts.
Wow!
And that son of a gun took $100 back too.
yeah, he reaches in his pocket and takes the C note back. Man, that was great entertainment. I got to give it to you for that one.
Oh, cheers. Thank you.
Now, Brian, speaking of things hurting, what are some of the what are the worst injuries that you've sustained in your wrestling career?
I've been very lucky. But I know the worst I had was in the early 2000s wrestling in Japan. I went for, we have our finishing moves in wrestling. I went for mine, sliced bread. Basically, I grabbed a guy by the head and I run up the corner and I got caught and dropped. Well, both of our weight landed on my head. And so my neck has been off ever since. That right there is my shoulder popping in and out, and it has for 10 years. My groin was torn in Japan as well, but if you don't count concussions, I've been very lucky. No serious broken bones, just a neck that's off by 60 degrees.
Wow, so the moral of this story is whoever says wrestling is fake doesn't know half the story.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like something because it's fake, then you won't like anything on TV. And these same people will talk about how great the latest episode of Breaking Bad was. Certainly it's choreographed. We don't go in there and really duke it out like UFC's perceived to be. But of course, why would you grab a guy by the wrist, shove him in the back, and bounce off the ropes? And in boxing or UFC, you don't let a guy hit you in the head. But in wrestling, you let a guy hit you in the head. And you have to remember what you do after you got hit in the head. And then try to yell and scream and get people to care after you've been hit in the head while you're exhausted. So if somebody wants to say it's predetermined, yeah, if somebody wants to say it's fake, if that's how they want to look at it. But it's you know going into wrestling that it's a show. These same idiots watch CNN and gobble it all up as if it's truth. So there you have it.
Brian Kendrick on the double with the Double S Express. And Brian, you hit it right on the head, man. I mean, it takes a lot of knowledge, a lot of exercise. You guys are acrobats as far as, you know, the choreographing that goes on. What I'm amazed at the most is this will always be a sport that has a strong passion. And what I mean by that is no matter if you think it's fake or real, you know, the storylines always keep you gravitated towards what's going on. I mean, that explains the millions and millions on pay-per-view. And so if there was ever an avenue to go into, if you so choose to be a great athlete, that's why you see a lot of former NFL players going into wrestling and trying that, because, I mean, it's always going to be there as a grand spectacle.
Well, you don't see John Cena pretending to hold a football after he wins a championship. But you see Aaron Rodgers making that championship belt sign after he wins the Super Bowl.
That's right.
It's entertainment, and they get it. And, you know, Richard Sherman, I'm sure, is aching to be able to cut a wrestling promo and tell people how stupid they are or tell his opponent how stupid he is. But instead, he's got a few seconds after a match to make a couple of statements and have half the world love him, half the world hate him. But in wrestling, that's what you do. You get people to love you or hate you, and then you go out there and you do some flips. You beat your body up. Then you go and have a beer with your friends afterwards and drive 300 miles and do it all over again.
Man, sounds like a huge weekend for some people. you know, how far do you see yourself taking this? I mean, because it's a lot of punishment. It's brutal at times. The travel, gets to you, I'm sure, after a while. How much longer do you think your body can take?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, if I keep going like I am, another 10 years, but all it takes is one little accident and it could all just disappear. So I'm very lucky to have been able to wrestle as long as I have. And I'm training kids currently during the week, so I can, if it was ever taken away from me, at least I've helped create the next generation. Not the next generation, but a few people that will be in and of the next generation.
And Brian, that's where I was going next, is you've taken a page out of where the man you got your training from, Shawn Michaels, and his wrestling academy, and you've started your own school of professional wrestling. And you can find information about that at briankendrick.net. And you've got a session starting on June 23rd. And talk about how you got that started and what you hope to do with it.
Well, thanks, buddy. It was something to give me something to do during the week. You know, wrestling mostly happens Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. And so Monday through Thursday, I'm twiddling my thumbs. And without it, you can become bitter on wrestling, just like anybody becomes bitter on anything. And so I got a bug up my butt to do this, and I'm so glad I did, because these kids made me fall back in love with it again. It helped me clean up my act, clean up my life, quit taking toxins, helped me get back into shape, and get me remotivated, because I don't want to set a bad example for these kids.
Well, that's awesome work that you're giving back what you've learned and able to help others and teach them and hopefully lead them down the path that you've been able to live the last 10, 12 years.
Well, and I hope they learn from my mistakes as well, because I've made plenty along the way. I've done some things right, and I've done a lot of things wrong, and hopefully from my experiences, they'll just do what I did right. And then when it comes time to make these choices where I made the wrong ones, they'll make the right ones.
And you can follow Brian on Twitter, his School of Wrestling at BK School of PW, BK School of PW on Twitter. And that Twitter page, Brian, is telling me that on May 29th, you are going to be wrestling. And that is a very special day. So I know you wouldn't be wrestling on that day unless you win and get some birthday cake.
Yeah, but then at the same time, I'm the one running the show. It's my first show that I'm actually wrestling on, because this kid is the kid I'm wrestling is super talented. And I think and hope he'll make millions of dollars in wrestling. It's this young man who wrestles under the moniker of Che Cabrera. And so it was my birthday treat to myself, was to wrestle this kid. And the truth is, I'm putting the match on first so I can watch the rest of the show. And I'm not going to say he's going to win or lose, but man, it would take a real dick to make himself the winner on his own show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, to say the least. To say the least.
But hey, you know, it's your birthday. You need a treat for sure. So go out on top. True. It's your own show.
That's true.
Brian Kendrick, thanks so much for your time. Get information on Brian's wrestling school, briankendrick.net. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we will catch up and talk soon.
Excellent. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thanks, Brian.
Take care, guys.
All right.
There goes professional wrestler Brian Kendrick. Lots of comedy. He is a funny, funny fella and knows everything about the wrestling world.
Man, what a way to start out the 1 year show number 52, man. Having Brian Kendrick on and talking wrestling. Man, I can only imagine, you know, just the preparation going in. That's one thing we didn't talk about, Sean, is the preparation going in, how much practicing these guys do to get the routines right and all that stuff. I'm sure we'll have Brian on again sometime down the line to get that going. But, man, what a way to start this 1 year off. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have guest number two. We'll talk some more sports. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
I'm gonna hop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Wow. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show 52. We're at the one-year mark. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number two tonight, and that is Todd Millis, sports writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. Todd, thanks for your time.
Hey, guys. Good to be on.
Man, Todd, we go way back, man. And, I mean, it's so good to have you on the show. And, of course, you know, I remember the times when you were actually covering me doing high school stuff, man. That's a long time ago. We won't even go into the dates. But here you are. You're doing some great stuff now, covering all professional sports, all things PNW, man. And we'll just get right to it. Great, great weekend in the draft or the NFL draft. Seattle Seahawks, you know, it looked like a, you know, if you're a Seahawks fan, you're kind of wondering, man, how do you give up, you know, some early draft picks? But what's the feel in Renton these days, you know, as far as the draft over the weekend?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the plan they had made all along. They needed to get more draft picks. I think they could have got, you know, obviously they felt like they could get their guy at early in the second round. If Paul Richardson was the guy that they really wanted at 32 and but could have gotten, you know, later in the draft, why not make the deal? Why not make the deal with the Vikings and then go get Paul Richardson and kind of recoup some of those draft picks they lost in a couple of trades they've made to kind of to better that unit for that wonderful Super Bowl run last year. So, and that's kind of how, you know, Pete Carroll and Schneider, that's kind of their MO. They like to trade back. They really trust their scouts, and they really trust their own evaluation, especially those guys that maybe are a little off the radar. And, you know, I think, you know, they're a speed guy. They love their speed, and it didn't surprise me at all that they went speed in the second round. It did surprise me a little bit that Paul Richardson was the pick. I don't think anybody really saw that coming. But I've covered Stephon Lufau, the really good quarterback at Bellarmine Prep, who's now at Colorado. And Stephon basically said, you know, this is the first-round talent. And I think people were kind of scared off because the guy played 165 pounds his whole college career. And I think people need to keep in mind, I mean, he is the guy that people had to stop and still was able to get deep on defenses for long touchdowns. So, you know, they lost Golden Tate in free agency, and this is the guy they got to replace him.
Yeah, and you hit it right on the head. That's what I was getting ready to say is, you know, Golden Tate's gone, and you go and get somebody, the Seahawks do, in Paul Richardson, and you talk about somebody that can definitely fill the void. You know, he's a speedy receiver. He's tall. He can, you know, he can also be a possession receiver. I think this was a huge plus, and to get him where Seattle got him was just incredible.
Well, people have asked me who he reminds me of, and he kind of reminds me a little of the guy that he's replacing, except in one big area. This guy is a polished route runner. I mean, he runs mean when he has the football, and it kind of reminds me of Golden. I mean, I'm a huge Golden Tate fan, and I was sorry to see him leave. I have a Heisman vote, and he was on my Heisman ballot when he was at Notre Dame, and you know, he reminds me a lot of Steve Smith, and so does Paul Richardson. A little different style, but like I said, he's a better route runner, and I think he's a little better getting his release off the line of scrimmage. So it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in early with this team. I know I've heard, you know, special teams. I know he didn't do a whole lot of that in Colorado, but when you got the speed and the agility that he has, it seems like, you know, for early season or early career role, I think that's what most Seahawks fans need to see him doing. Is doing his magic on special teams.
Yeah, definitely. And John Schneider knows exactly what he's doing as far as drafting players. You know, one of the surprising or actually bright moments for the Pacific Northwest in Seattle was the signing of the undrafted rookie free agents of one Keith Price, University of Washington quarterback, you know, getting a chance to stay up there in Seattle and prove his muster up there.
I'm so happy for Keith Price. I mean, in some weird way, do I wish he got drafted? Sure. I never understood the backlash toward Keith Price. I got to cover him when I was UW football beat writer under, you know, Steve Sarkisian in his first couple years. And, you know, really enjoyed what that first year that Keith had. He had that remarkable first year, and you know, he was tough. He can move around a little bit. His arm is underrated. He's pretty accurate. And then, you know, they lost two pretty good tackles and never really replaced them. And you saw the you saw the effects of that the next 2 years. I mean, Keith Price took more hits than any college quarterback should. And, you know, I know he's not the tallest guy, but I'm really happy for Keith. He gets to stay in Seattle. He loves it up here. He'll get a chance to be in the practice squad, hopefully, with the world champions. And who knows, guys? I mean, the big question is, what are they going to do with Terrell Pryor? Is he a quarterback? Is he a tight end? Is he, I've heard cornerback, which would be kind of cool. And if they kind of move him around during training camp just to kind of find a position other than quarterback, you know, Keith Price, who knows? You know, he could make this squad or make it interesting as a third quarterback.
Todd Millis joining us, Tacoma News Tribune sports writer. Now, Todd, you've covered all kinds of sports from, you know, the Seahawks that we ran into you at the NFC Championship game and, you know, all the way down to the high school level, golf, the Mariners. You've done it all there in Tacoma. Do you have a favorite story or two that you've written and or a favorite sport to cover?
Boy, Sean, you're really testing my memory on this one, man. It's September, it'll be 20 years since I started. I started in September of 1994. And Mr. Boyd was correct. I covered him when he was in high school, and he was a heck of a track athlete. His dad was a heck of a track coach. It's hard for me to know or try and pick out one or two stories. I've been fortunate to cover a lot of different things and enjoyed a lot of it. I mean, right now, you know, my focus is golf. We have the U.S. Open coming here in a year. I'm going to go to the U.S. Open next month in North Carolina. It'll be my 16th major. That's a lot of responsibility, and I don't think people realize how big a deal this is going to be next June. When the U.S. Open comes here, it's the biggest thing to ever come to Pierce County. Sports, politics, you name it. This is the biggest thing that's ever come to Pierce County. I think the sooner people around here realize that, the better off we're going to be in trying to embrace it.
You know, Todd, I think with the U.S. Open in 2015 at Chambers Bay, you could argue that that is the biggest event in Washington State history. Granted, you've got some Final Fours in Seattle back in the day, the Sonics in the finals. But this is, you know, an entire week of notoriety, not just one day or a game here, a game there. And, you know, Chambers Bay started as a rock quarry, for those that don't know, and has grown into this Pebble Beach-esque golf course, minus the ocean, but you've got the bay right there and Puget Sound, and, you know, it's just materialized into a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like the Super Bowl every day for 7 days. I don't want to diminish the Super Bowl. There's only one Super Bowl. And there's only one NFC Championship game. There's some big things that have happened in Seattle. So I don't want to step on the 206, their toes on the things that they've hosted at the Kingdome and the All-Star Games and the fights and the Final Fours, like you mentioned. But I know in Pierce County it's the biggest thing that's come here and quite possibly will come here. I have people in my own office that I think that it's just the local circus coming. You know, it's Barnum & Bailey Circus. They're going to pitch their pup tent and, you know, entertain a few people and then leave. And it's not like that at all. I mean, it's a massive endeavor. I mean, it is huge. We're going to have 1,200 to 1,500 media people here. We're going to have 35,000 people on the grounds a day. And never mind Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Rory McIlroy and all the great golfers in the world. Hopefully Tiger Woods, let's pray that his body heals. It's going to be fun. I mean, I'm anxious, I'm nervous. You know, we'll be the paper of record for that week. But I've heard that the week that thing goes, it's one of the funnest rides sports writers ever going to be on.
Now, Todd, you know, Sean was mentioning that it has that Pebble Beach-esque type of a feel. I know that when they designed the course and when you see the rolling greens, it's I think it's more similar to the British Open. And I believe there's a clock that they have there that is similar to the clock that they have at the British Open. You're also mentioning, you know, the amounts of people that are going to be there. Is the Puget Sound or Pierce County, are they prepared for this mass amount of people?
Yeah, you know, Sean, that's the million-dollar question here. They don't have a blueprint for this golf course because it's new. And like you mentioned, it's a link-style golf course. There's really no blueprint for that for a U.S. Open the way the U.S. Open sets up its golf courses. It's different than what the British people do for the British Open. So, you know, the outside the rope stuff, they have a pretty competent guy in Danny Fink, who's been here an extra year. He's a championships director. He'll set up all the anemones. He'll set up all the merchandise tents, the players' quarters, all the volunteer stuff. I mean, he's done enough of these things that I think getting him out here an extra year, he'll know what he's doing. You know, the big questions, I think, will be inside the ropes. You know, how do people get around that golf course because it's such a difficult walk? There's so many mounds, there's hills that you can fall off and hurt yourself on, and never mind the hills that you got to walk up if you want to follow Tiger Woods. I mean, it's going to be a challenging walk for the galleries. And then the second thing is the greens. You're right, these things are so sloped that if the greens aren't consistent in the way the grass is and the way they roll, there's going to be a huge outcry among these golfers. I mean, these golfers are used to playing the best courses with the best greens in the world. And it's a different grass, the fine, fescue grass, so it's not something that they play every day. So it'll be very interesting to see how these greens hold up for U.S. Open conditions. So those are the two things that I worry most about with the U.S. Open. And hopefully, if they can kind of square those two issues away, you know, who knows? Maybe Chambers Bay would be in line for a future U.S. Open. I think that's what a lot of people around here would like to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the last time, you know, it was up in the Pacific Northwest, I believe it was Sahali, and that was in 2005, am I correct? So with your PGA knowledge, who does it favor the most?
That's a good question. I would think the Euros. I would think guys like Lee Westwood, Rory McIlroy, Graham McDowell, guys from the UK who know how to play golf. Along the ground, they can control their ball flight. It doesn't have to be high like the Americans play it. They understand how to play off slopes. I'm not saying the Americans can't. It's just something that they're not, you know, accustomed to. I mean, there's some very creative golfers. Tiger Woods, for example, he's smart enough, he's creative enough to know how to play this golf course. He's won a few British Opens. But if you're asking me who do I think it favors, with none of these guys having seen it before, I would think any edge can separate the winner from the guy who finishes in 40th or 50th place in these kind of tournaments. And right now, I think the guys that are acclimated to the grass and to this style of golf, I would give the edge to. So, I mean, guys I mentioned, and you can name a few other Euros, I'm sure we can all put them on a big list and bet on them.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Todd Millis of the Tacoma News Tribune, sports writer, joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Now, talking about Chambers Bay and who might know it and who might do okay, not only from a local standpoint, being in the Tacoma area, Pacific Northwest, but from a story standpoint, how great would it be if Ryan Moore of Puyallup, who's played that course a number of times, hosted a couple events there, was able to do well next year at the U.S. Open?
Well, yeah, I mean, as a local sports writer, he's followed his career since he was 16 years old. I mean, we're all waiting for it. He's won a number of USGA events. He's won the U.S. Amateur. I'm just kind of waiting for him to really kind of challenge and for a major. I mean, whether it's at Chambers Bay or at the Masters, which is, seems to be the tournament that fits him the most, I mean, it would be fantastic. I mean, or Michael Putnam or Kyle Stanley. But, I mean, Ryan Moore, maybe in particular, because he's so much expectations kind of surrounded him. And you're right, he held his skins game here for a couple years with Bubba Watson and Aaron Baddeley. He knows this golf course. He played it 6 months before it opened, so he got to be the first guy to post a round on it. You know, I mean, so many things in play here, and never mind that he's from this area. I'd just like to see him play well and represent the area well. And if Michael Putnam or Andrew Putnam and Kyle Stanley or Andres Gonzalez, if any of those guys are in the tournament as well, I would just like to see them, you know, represent themselves well on a course that they know very well, especially in an area that doesn't seem to get this kind of notoriety.
Now, Todd, you're driving back from, I believe, Western Washington University up in Bellingham, Washington, and from what you told me off air, you spoke to a journalism class there today. Now, what did you tell them, and what would you tell aspiring sports journalists on what they can do to try to get in the business?
Yeah, Sean, it's amazing that they would actually ask me to be the steward for journalism, because you know, I'm probably one of the more least conventional journalists, just my, you know, the way I look at the world and stuff. But yeah, they asked me to come up and talk to some impressionable college kids, and you know, I mean, I general message is journalism is such an intuitive and instinctive profession that don't let an editor or a executive editor or a publisher or a reader, you know, if you have the instinct, if you know what good journalism looks like, and, you know, don't let somebody tell you no. That's not the way to do it. Just be confident in your abilities, and, you know, someday they should pay off. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on with journalism and the writing and the reporting and the time, you know, I mean, it consumes a huge part of my life, time-wise, family-wise. I have to have a very understanding wife, which I do. You know, and it's a different profession than a lot. It's almost like one of those that gets sort of in your blood and you're consumed by it. So, you know, it's good to see this next generation that seems to have the itch for it and wants to do good journalism. It's comforting to know that, you know, there's a generation behind me or two generations behind me that want to kind of uphold the tradition. So I always kind of like doing stuff like that. I don't get enough time to probably, or enough opportunities to do that, but I sure enjoyed myself up in Bellingham today.
Todd Miller's kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And of course, Todd, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here because, of course, you know, our ties go way back. And I have to admit, man, that you're a part of that inspiration for me to actually go into broadcasting communications and journalism. And, you know, I think you're being a little bit modest because, you know, I remember those times that you'd come up and, you know, and talk to me. And then, of course, you know, over the years, you know, you would cover me as far as coaching is concerned. And, you know, the next thing you know, there's an NFC championship game in 2005, and I'm in the locker room. And I'm covering just like you are. And, you know, it's because of, you know, the things that you've done going forward that have helped me go out and do the things that I need to do. And man, I just appreciate you for it.
Well, don't make me cry there, Sean. Don't put me on the spot and make me cry like that. No, I mean, if people know me and respect me and think that, you know, I'm fair, I mean, that's the biggest compliment in the world. What I ask for myself is I make sure I'm fair to people and balanced with people. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that I won't step on people's toes once in a while, but if people know that I, you know, have the good of the order in mind and like I said, treat people well, and in good times and hard times, because it's both, then that means the most to me. And I, you know, I appreciate people who kind of follow that as well. And, yeah, Sean, I've known you a long time. Just don't take my spot in the Tribune, will you? You just keep on radio, okay? Keep that radio stuff going.
Hey, man, I can't promise you that, man. But, I mean, actually, that was my next question. You being a pillar in the Pacific Northwest or in the state of Washington, of course, Eric Williams being with TNT, you know, another good journalist, and then he's down in San Diego now. What's on the horizon for Todd Millis in the future? Do you see yourself staying up in the Tacoma, Seattle area?
You're talking about Eric Williams. Eric Williams is one of my best friends. Man, he did a good job for us. He did a great job covering the Sonics. Did a great job covering the Seahawks. It was hard for him to make that decision, but hey, he landed in San Diego, and he's making a lot more money. It was tough to see him go. I don't know if I'm an ESPN type. Like I said, I've been at the Tribune my whole career. When I graduated from Washington State in 94, all I wanted to do was work for the Tacoma News Tribune. And you know, for some, that might not seem like a lofty goal, but that was what I wanted to do. I got here. I enjoy what I do. And, you know, I got a U.S. Open next year, so I'm not leaving anytime soon, guys. So, but as far as the future, we'll see. I mean, I think we all know newspapers aren't in the best health right now. Hopefully that improves and changes and people get back to reading newspapers.
Well, Todd Millis, knowing you went to Washington State, I will be there this weekend for the Pac-12 Network and the Track and Field Championship. So if you have any hot spots I should check out, definitely let me know.
You know what? I just want to go to Pullman to see the new stadium. You know, I covered the Cougs for a number of years. I loved my time there. I have yet to be there since the renovation started. And I know they're almost done with the last renovation with all the football coaches stuff and everything. My gosh, I just want to get over there and drink a beer and see the new stadium, for God's sake. So I know it's track and field, but have fun, man. That would be a blast.
Yeah, it should be a good time. Should be great weather. And, you know, I haven't worked track and field yet, so it'll be an interesting experience for sure.
Well, drink a beer for me, Alicia.
Hey, Todd. Now, of course, you covering the Seattle Seahawks, of course, you know, are you looking forward to coming down to Northern California? I believe that is Thanksgiving Thursday. That's a Thursday night game down at Levi Stadium here in Northern California. Are you looking forward to seeing what that's all about?
You know, we haven't even set our travel next year. It would be a lot of fun to do some more regular season road games with the Seahawks. You know, we have a beat guy. His name's Todd Divas. He's leaving sometime this summer. We're in the market for a new Seahawks rider. You know, I've been approached to do it full-time. It's not really my cup of tea doing one thing full-time. I could do a lot of variety of things. But if they ask me to go down there and see the new stadium and, you know, unquestionably get to see another round of the best rivalry in the NFL, I think we all can agree on that, guys. That would be a lot of fun to watch the 49ers and Seahawks in that new stadium. I hope this is a rivalry that continues over the next 4 or 5 years, because as we all can agree, that NFC Championship game, you know, a few months ago was one of the coolest things I've ever been to, especially having, you know, a few strides away from where Richard Sherman, you know, tipped that pass and forced that last turnover. That was pretty cool.
Todd Millis, sports writer of the Tacoma News Tribune, thank you so much for your time tonight, your insight. Great catching up with you. And hopefully we made your drive home a little easier and got through some of it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Love to join you guys in the future, okay?
Hey, thanks, Todd. Thanks for being on, man.
You got it. Talk to you later.
All right. There goes Todd Millis, longtime sports writer at the Tacoma News Tribune.
Man, Sean, how can we make his drive a little easier? I mean, unless he has hopefully he had the Bluetooth on. Man, he's talking and driving at the same time. Hopefully he's concentrating.
Passing the time. That was my thought and my goal there. You know, we made it seem like it was very quick for him, hopefully, since he's going all the way from Bellingham to the South Puget Sound.
Yeah, at least getting into the area to where there's a little more habitat, if you will. So, I mean, you know that drive as well as I do. Man, there's a stretch to where it's nothing but trees and, you know, it can get dark real quick.
Man, two great guests tonight, Brian Kendrick and Todd Millis for show 52, Sean, which is 1 year.
Yeah, man, this has been exciting. Of course, you know, having Brian Kendrick on early and now Todd. And so, you know, it has been a great show so far. So coming back from the break, we are going to wrap up this show number 52. We're going to have more sports. We're going to catch you up on the NBA's action and a little bit of the MLB as well. You're listening to On the Double.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret. A new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product. Helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night, and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 52. 1 year, where is the confetti and the balloon, Sean Wally? Been a great show thus far.
You know, I think we probably still saved some of the confetti from the NFC Championship game at CenturyLink Field. You know, if we check our pockets, and we might be able to find some of that blue and green confetti and toss it up.
Oh, man, you know, that was a fun time, you know, at being a neutral fan of the game and getting a chance to see two of the best teams in the NFL. Let's face it, in the Super Bowl, that was not the two best teams, but the two best teams going at it in that NFC Championship game. That was fun. And, yeah, you know, maybe we should have grabbed some of that confetti for show number 52 here, because it is an exciting time for us, my friend.
So 1 year, 52 shows, lots and lots of guests. Any top your list of favorites just come to mind?
Man, you know, you did this to me a couple of weeks ago, man. And I there are so many favorites. You know, I can, you know, I think going back to probably to the very first show. I mean, do you remember who our guests were on that first show?
Oh, absolutely, like the back of my hand. The aforementioned Eric Williams that we talked about with Todd Millis, the former Tacoma News Tribune employee, Seattle Seahawks beat writer, now doing good things for ESPN.com in San Diego, covering the Chargers, and one Ruthie Bolton of basketball fame for the Olympics and the Sacramento WNBA team, doing great things.
Man, it seems like yesterday. It seems like yesterday, thinking back to that first episode and, you know, just remembering having the, you know, the sweaty palms and thinking, man, is there any way that, you know, hopefully we don't mess this up and, you know, do some cool things. And so, you know, here we are at show number 52. And, you know, you had mentioned earlier, who would have thunk it, even though our plan was to, you know, take this all the way to the top, which we will. But, man, thinking back to that show number one, definitely brings a lot of nostalgia.
Absolutely, Sean. And, you know, we've had, you know, Todd Millis tonight, one of your good buddies going way back, and John Kitna, another one that you know personally. And I would guess that those guys might be at or near the top of favorite guests for you, just like tonight, you know, Brian Kendrick being my good buddy growing up through high school into the beginning of college. And I mean, we haven't spoke in many, many years, but still great to catch up and talk to somebody from a blast from the past.
Yeah, you know, and even, you know, Todd Millis as well. You know, Todd and I go way back, and, you know, it's great to know that we surround ourselves with good people. And, of course, that's what our show is all about. Our show is all about, you know, bringing the, you know, the lighter side of sports, if you will. You know, bringing more of the positive. And, you know, the guests that we've have had on the show have just been brilliant as far as giving their take on what it takes to get to the next level, or what it took for them, you know, to get to the point that they're at. And so, you know, hopefully our listeners take heed to a lot of our guests, you know, because I know I do. And, you know, it's just been a great ride so far.
And who can forget, you're talking about good stories. How about Jake Olson and McKay Christensen? I mean, here's a high school kid finding a way to conquer blindness and be a high school snapper, and he's pals with Pete Carroll.
Yeah, you know, that goes all the way back to the USC days. And, you know, what a guy Pete Carroll is. And, you know, I, to be honest with you, in the beginning, I didn't know what to think of Coach Carroll because, you know, some of the things that have gone on with him in the past at USC. And, you know, there's, you know, players falling by the wayside, you know, Heisman trophies being given back. But, man, I mean, that does not indicate, you know, the type of person that Pete Carroll actually is. I mean, he's a guy that gives to the community. Of course, we've had Cornell Ward, Coach Ward on the show, who's had a connection with Coach Carroll. And, you know, I mean, just some great guests through and through.
Yeah, it's definitely been a great time, you know, from, you know, down in your neck of the woods, the Bay Area, having Paul Gackle on a number of times, and he'll be on in the future, Bay Area sports writer. And, you know, up here in the Northwest, we had a fun time talking to Chris Egan of King 5 TV and Ian Furness, Sports Radio 950, and the people we've had on from 710 ESPN Seattle, Danny O'Neill, Bob Stelton, Jim Moore was a hoot. And, you know, it's been a great year, and year two is rolling.
Yeah, you know, and things are getting better for the Double S Express. And so hopefully you as listeners continue to listen to our show up and down the West Coast and around the world. And, of course, we always throw out an invitation to write us, email us at Sean, S-E-A-N, at double-S-Express.com. Or you can email Sean Wally at S-H-A-W-N at double-S-Express.com. Let us know your thoughts. Of course, Mr. Wally, we've had the expansion of having an actual producer on our show. And so, you know, I have to give a shout out to Alicia Flores for the great things that she is doing, you know, and enhancing our show. And of course, we cannot, and we would be remiss to leave out Doug and Don Newsom doing some awesome things. Our engineers, our crack staff, making sure that everything is going on properly, our mic levels, our music, the whole nine. And so, man, I'm just looking forward to the Double S Express family getting bigger and getting better, man.
Yeah, and we have to, again, thank Alicia for her work. And, you know, it's things like bringing on our very first current pro athlete, Walter Thurmond, formerly of the world champion Seattle Seahawks, now signing with the New York Giants, and he's on to a new endeavor. And, you know, just great guests coming from all angles, from people you know and contacts you've made, Mr. Boyd, and that Alicia's worked with, working games down in the Bay Area, and myself here in the Northwest, and just trying to, you know, help the show out and spread some knowledge from our great guests. And hopefully people enjoy it and want to come back for more every week. And also, you know, if you miss a show or you want to hear it again on demand via our BBS Radio website, which is bbsradio.com/DSX, our own website, double-s-express.com. You can find all the shows there, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, you've hit it right on the head, man. And yeah, I'm glad that we're having this time to just, you know, sit back and reflect on things. You know, when you have an endeavor, you go at it 100 miles an hour and you're constantly looking forward. And, you know, you're always trying to look for that sign of significance. I know you and I talk about this, you know, all the time is, man, are we significant? You know, is this the right thing? And when you think of the guests that we've had, and this isn't a braggadocious, you know, statement or anything like that, but when you think of the guests that we've had, looking back and reflecting, you know, man, we are, you know, definitely going into the right direction. And, you know, there is a sense of relevance, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the future guests. I'm excited about the way where things are going. And so, you know, again, keep giving us your thoughts. Keep sending us info. You know, if you have ideas, you know, we're open to that as well. And so we just want to bring you the best sports talk, bar none. And so I think that we're on our way to doing that, Mr. Wally.
That's the idea, and definitely the goal is to continue moving forward and move on to bigger and better things and see where that may take us and what path that is going to be. And, you know, that's the unknown. That's the reason you set sail. That's the reason Brian Kendrick drove in a Honda Del Sol from Olympia, Washington to Austin, Texas to live with his aunt and then drive to San Antonio daily to train. You know, it's that unforeseen objective, but you have that dream, that goal in mind, and that vision, and you need to be able to attain it.
That's right. You know, there we always say, or actually we always say, it's in the Bible that a man without vision perishes, and you definitely need that. And so we definitely have that in our sights, Mr. Wally, and man, show 52 is in the books, my friend.
52, just the beginning. You know, we could be like Mariners producer engineer on the radio network. Kevin Kremen just had his, get this, Sean, 5,000th broadcast of Mariner baseball.
Man, 5,000 shows. Can you imagine that? I'm thinking at some point we will be on some major sports network doing our 5,000th show.
And we will be much longer in the tooth, most definitely.
Well, we will be we'll be on the air every day, and that will be probably 2 to 4 hours a day. And so, yeah, no problem with that, and increasing 5,000 shows when you're on air every day. So, yes, yeah. Mr. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
52 shows, Sean. It's been great. Thank you for your time, your insight, your knowledge, your hard work. Don, great job. Alicia, appreciate all that you do. Keep those big-time guests coming. Brian Kendrick, it was great talking to you tonight. Todd Millis, appreciate your time and insight from the Tacoma News Tribune.
Fantastic show, Mr. Wally. Show 52. Man, look forward to some great, great sports talk in the future. We're going to talk to you next week. Guys, continue to enjoy the weather. I know that it's warm out there. Get out there and get some of those rays. And, of course, send us some info back. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. You have been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.